I started using the R package, and right now I focus on only linear regression, because nonlinear regression is, I think, I need a bit of reading to do the actual experiment with the nonlinear regression, because with the nonlinear regression there are so many functions and there are lots of associated parameters. So still at this point I'm not sure how to use nonlinear regression properly for using for our experimental.
For nonlinear, you have to, like I think Kaushik said last time, you have to specify the model, right? And you have to specify...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, that there's a bunch of models, and they're all associated parameters.
So I think last time you said something like, just try with simple ax squared plus ax, a plus bx plus cx squared.
Yeah, just a quadratic model.
I think that you can do with linear model itself.
Linear regression?
Linear regression. Yeah, you can do it. I mean, assist with the R package, with the linear model package, you can do the quadratic thing.
But this is not a general linear regression
with all the assist parameters.
Just try with the quadratic one, because it's the quadratic.
No, but what I'm saying is that the quadratic one and the nonlinear equation in R is different. The nonlinear equation, they use separate package. The NLS package, what they say. But that's a little bit complicated, because there are a lot of parameters and you need to provide the starting value.
I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, that you will start with the quadratic equation in the linear package, if the quadratic equation exists in the linear package, because you're already familiar with the linear package, so that may be easier. Because nonlinear package is for modeling a complex equation, whatever equation you want, you can model that. Now, we are not trying a lot of equations currently, we are just trying to try quadratic equation for the first.
How do we know that which will fit for our model? Is just try as many one as you want?
No, you try quadratic one. Like in linear one, if you're saying that, say for example, y is equal to ax plus ax1 plus a1x1 plus a2x2 plus fx. Instead of that, you say a1x1 plus b1x1 square plus a2x2 plus b2 x2 square and so on.
Okay.
So every parameter we will have a linear coefficient and we will have a quadratic coefficient.
Oh. But we don't need any interaction, the coefficients of
is there a correlation between those coefficients?
Yeah, exactly. I mean let's say there are three variables x, y, z. We don't need coefficients for x, y or y, z, right? Or we may.
That will be too complex.
No, but that isn't that something that is determined as a output?
No.
After the training, to show that there is a correlation?
No, there is no model that will give you the equation as a whole. You need to give the, even if you are doing the linear model, you are basically giving the equation. But you are giving the equation and just trying to find the parameter.
Coefficient.
So all the model is about... You have to come up with the equation, and then you give the parameter.
And I guess with R, you can also get things like, what is the correlation coefficient between those parameters?
That you can definitely get.
And that will also tell us whether there is any correlation between, say for instance, memory allocation and disk allocation, or things like that, right? Because With the linear model, we are creating a dependency between the input parameters and the output parameters, right?
Yeah.
But there might be some interdependencies between the input parameters, which is what the correlation coefficient would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for that you need to provide an equation beforehand to find any correlation.
So in the simplest case, if we just go with the linear ax1, a1x1 plus b1, a2x2 and so on.
Plus the intercept, yeah.
Then it's straightforward.
It's straightforward.
But if we go to quadratic again is in a way straightforward. A1 x1 plus a2.
Yeah, kind of straightforward.
X1, a1 x1 plus b1 x1 square plus a2 x2 plus b2 x2 square. So even that is straightforward. As long as you know the form of the equation, you can get the correlation coefficient for the various terms.
Can you write down the equation? You're trying to figure out what is the equation you are trying to use. Can you do
it? Yeah, go ahead and write whatever you need to.
So the simplest case would be, let's say, our output, let's say y. So in this case, the coefficient, the equation should be c plus a1 x1 plus a2 x2 plus a3 x3 plus a4 x3 plus as many input variables you want. In our case, it is 4 variables, so a3 x4, a4 x4.
This is a linear equation, right?
This is a linear equation of simplest
form. What is y?
Y is output, u1.
Throughput.
Throughput. I see. Okay. So they will give you C, A1, A2, A3, A4. The R packets.
Okay. And what's the equation for the quadratic model?
Quadratic model should be something like Xn, a1 x1 plus a1 x1 plus a1 x1 squared plus a2 x2 plus a2
plus there can be other one like B1, X1, X1, X2, B3, X2.
No, but this is you said the quadratic equation with no...
Yeah, this is the simplest version, but I'm saying the quadratic equation can be like that.
Well, there could be an equation like this. I mean, in R you could provide an equation like Y, X1 plus X2 plus X3 plus X4. That's what you're trying to say?
No.
Yeah. That's basically it.
You'll have x1, x2, x3, x4.
Yeah, that's basically the same thing.
Okay, so far you ran one specific.
Just the first one.
The first one.
Do you run the second one or the first one?
I'm sorry.
Well, there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then this is exactly the same as what you get with Excel, right?
Not really.
No? It's different?
Well, with Excel, I didn't know how to use it properly. Probably.
Oh, okay.
But right now, I use it exactly the same way as I use CNN. I first train the data, and with the same training, with same testing, I use produce.
And what were the results like?
Well, the results I wrote down.
Okay. Are they different?
I would say that it's little bit worse than in.
It's worse than ENN.
Little bit, but not much.
Okay.
Have you verified the project started to put it in that test?
Well, I'm coming in because there are a lot of things. So,
okay.
So with the linear equation, it's and also the trend is similar. I mean, for example, with postmark, we have ANN very low. I mean, low error. So with the linear equation, it's the same thing. So,
okay.
And also, I was looking at the spreadsheet. So the data values. So I mean. For example, you have higher values in a specific example, so the CPU benchmark. You have higher values, higher error values when your computing IO is high. So linear equation is also the same.
The same trend.
Same trend.
And you said that you had some 50 training points and 80 testing points.
Yeah.
Right. And did you try to play with that, those numbers?
Yeah, those numbers, that doesn't change it.
Doesn't help.
Doesn't help.
So if you have more in the training and fewer in the testing.
Fewer in the testing will actually influence your result.
No, it just means that you need more training data.
No, that's right.
So if you move some of the testing data into training data, then
the accuracy doesn't change.
So
probably 1%.
So what are the other configurations you tested with? How many testing and how many training?
I tried to give all the training data, I mean all into the training.
Okay.
To the 50 to 80, just the same type of experiment I did it with OLTP. Remember, I have the graph of OLTP.
Okay.
Like 50% training, 80% training,
that's something.
Oh, that's already in the paper?
That's already in the paper. That's with the OLTP, not with the CIPA.
Okay. I don't remember that graph. Is it in this paper?
It's the accuracy of the training data.
Number of data points, the percentage of it. So it basically doesn't change even if you give. And what about the testing data in this case?
Testing data is a fixed length. It's a separate testing data of fixed.
Separate testing data of, okay. Okay, so I guess that's,
And I also tried with adding the percentage CPU as a parameter.
For down zero.
Down zero CPU utilization as a parameter, that also doesn't change the scenario. At least it doesn't make any worse result.
Oh.
I mean, it's the same.
Okay.
Did you verify the ANN data?
Yeah. The thing is that I was looking into the ANN functions at some time because I was thinking that ANN is very close to the linear regression result.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something lies in the ANN function itself because there are a lot of parameters itself in ANN.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to look into that and I found something that it specifies some functions that I could use or the user could potentially use. And I use this function, fan linear. In our all our results.
Linear sounds like linear. I don't know, I'm just guessing, but it seems like you want to use something better than linear.
Yeah, but the reason that at that moment the reason I chose it because
it was the most common one that people used or
not most common one,
no, recommended
because
one.
Of the output range.
Oh, okay.
Because all the other functions the output is somehow restricted to 0 to 1 or minus 1 to plus 1.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's the only function that could give you unbound results.
Mm.
That's probably the limitation of this implementation.
Because the neural network itself, when you say this function, this is it the function of each node or is it the function of the neural network?
It's the function of each layer.
Layer or node? It's a layer, node probably.
You could specify as a node as a layer or to the top of the neural network.
Okay.
But I specify it as a layer.
But if you think about it, even if it's a layer, which is linear, it's not multiplicative. It's just substitution, right? So if y, so let's say you have a layer of
because multiplied, isn't it, or not?
So let's say that
you have seen the first layer is linear.
Y equals x. The second layer is y prime equals x prime. Now here in the first layer your input is x, the output is y, but in the second layer the output is y. So in the end your y prime is x.
Some x.
So it's just a substitution rather than a multiplication, right? So overall, it would again be.
What is the goal of the intermediate neurons in this case?
I mean, what is the purpose of using intermediate neurons, or what they are playing in the approximation?
I don't know.
Because I'm sure that it's not as same as using linear regression in or linear function in R.
Mm-hmm.
That cannot be the case, because there are several intermediate neurons or so many stuff.
It could be that in the simplest case, using fan linear, it is the same as linear regression. Maybe, I don't know, it seems like there is no multiplicative effect going on here.
Even you use the whole data set as a training set, your error is just 20%. That's bad. Can you try something else? Maybe the stepwise medium. That should be better than the single medium, stepwise medium approximation. That's what people typically use when the model is on linear. Why you can make a
So is there a
so your problem on the your output? Your problem is the output. Output is not between 0 to 1. Now, we may try to convert the output, isn't it?
Now that's what I think we discussed last time. Is what if you take some
amount hard, I mean, in between 0 to 1, I mean, I could use some multiplicative for demultiplicative factor.
But what factor?
What factor I would use?
So, for instance, you can take the maximum value of all the training data, multiply it by 2, and then use that as a demultiplicative factor or something like that, or multiply it by some factor, or multiply it by a factor of 10, I don't know. So you know for sure that even if you have testing output that might lie greater than the training output, it will still be captured within that 0 to 1 range.
Or you can divide. You can at least divide it by tens, some tens by tens. Then it will be just a point approximation.
I'm not sure whether the output should line the entire should cover the entire range of 0 to 1 for more accuracy. If, for instance, the output is restricted to 0 to 0.1, then maybe the ANN does not have very good resolution. I don't know. I guess we need to understand what does output range of 0 to 1 really mean. Does it mean that the entire output range should be covered by the training data, or that is not required?
As per my knowledge, it doesn't exist.
Because if the output range only covers, let's say, 0 to 0.1, do we still have good resolution in the ANN?
It should have.
Although it covers only the 10% of the range.
Maybe you can ask the author if this was his thing, it's about my thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, don't feel shy to send email to the author of these, especially if it's open source. I mean, it is open source. And certainly, they want people to use their code.
Did you, another way we can find out is, have you find any paper that has used this FNN? Anyone that, or any discussion forum? Because it's a very popular one.
That I need to check in more people. It was in just in some manual page.
Yeah, but this is a very popular one. So I'm wondering that if you can find someone who has used this one, then maybe you can ask him, okay, what is the function he has used?
Well, they say that the most commonly used function is the some Gaussian symmetric function.
So, use some multiplicative or rather demultiplicative factor.
How difficult it is to change the function from one to another one? Is it just a configuration, or is it you have to change a lot of code?
Just a parameter.
Just a parameter. Then, might as well just try something like a linear one, like piecewise linear one is sounds very stepwise linear. Stepwise linear one very sounds very reasonable. Stepwise linear basically nothing but it's a small, it's within a small gap, it's a linear.
Uh-huh.
And the next step, another linear. And if you remember, long time back, Ming was not there because three of us, we discussed that at one point of time that okay, can we do separate modeling of this particular region to the next region. We discussed that long time back.
Yeah, because of the non-linear
Because of the non-linear.
Especially when you go into high IO, competing IO, your performance drops drastically.
So we discussed that some time back. So if you do the Pissos linear, that may
actually help a lot.
That may help actually. It may do that. It will do that kind of modeling. Okay. Like a stepwise modeling.
I think you've hit the right spot because I think the errors that we're getting is in the high IO range where the changes are much more rapid than in the lower IO ranges.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to fit a straight line through all of those points, you're going to have large error in the high IO range, which makes a lot of sense.
So if it is not that difficult, I will say start with the Pissos linear and not only restrict yourself to Pissos linear, but
try the Gaussian and what
try the Gaussian. Try the Gaussian. Write to the author. Try to find out who has used FNN. What kind of modeling they have used. Try to use that one.
How to do output transformation?
Okay.
If output transformation is absolutely necessary or not, can you change something to remove that restriction of 0 to 1? And if that is a real restriction, then you need to do some sort of transformation. You ask the author itself, well, how do I transform my output? Are there any recommended procedures to transform my output? If there are no recommended procedures, just use some reasonable demultiplicative factor.
So Sajiv, the problem is, your problem is the output is always between 0 and 1. Is that a problem? Here, I mean, the function requires us to use the output between 0 and 1. We are training the model.
Yeah.
So we cannot use the absolute output in the output.
Stepwise linear doesn't say any span. So maybe the stepwise linear is minus infinity plus plus infinity.
I think if the grad output is between 0 and 1, and if you uniformly scale down your actual output between 0 and 1, then the shape of the model shouldn't change. So that's probably what you should do.
Right? Yeah.
Just uniformly scale down your output.
Yeah, use the same division factor for all the outputs.
Because it's a multiplication, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, the function will just have a
multiplier. Yeah, just a gain, just like a constant gain.
Just a gain.
So if you say your minimum and the maximum is these two numbers, and you divide your output to these two numbers, that's the difference between these two numbers. That is your game. Right?
Yeah, but the training data may not span the entire output range.
I see.
So you might have testing output that lies beyond that range. So that's why you might want something larger than the training rate.
My sense is it will not change the equation that much.
Or you use a demultiplicative factor that's large enough so that you're sure that your testing range is also covered.
Because you have the testing range, so you can take you have the maximum testing range.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, you can just because now you're trying to find out what is the actual modeling.
I think you can use the actual maximum that you know.
That makes sense. And I think, for instance, we have to explain. It's good that we have all this results with the linear model. Right? We can explain this intuition as to why performance cannot be modeled with the linear model, precisely for the nonlinear effects that need to be considered, and that's also value that's added to the paper. And then we slowly motivate other models. Eventually we come to a model that works well. Maybe the ANN with a different parameter input, or some other R-based model. I don't know which one is going to provide us the best. Actually, I mean, this observation that the linear model cannot capture those nonlinear effects, I think we should have had that before. This seems very basic when you mention it.
Yeah, but
especially because we discussed it before.
Yeah,
right?
But we are assuming so far that if ANN is a nonlinear modeling.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. So far we didn't know that.
Once we came up with the data that okay, linear model, the data of the linear model and the ANN is giving the similar kind of result, then we tried to we started suspecting that something is wrong in the ANN probably.
Mm.
Otherwise, we're thinking that something is more like we are doing modeling
point,
it. We're assuming okay, it's a nonlinear model.
Yeah.
And did you use this one, the stiffness, that is it a single neuron or is it a layer curve? Which one did you use? Transit activation function, which one did you use?
Transit activation, I use transit activation function output and transit activation function heated. You can separately choose.
Okay.
But I think I used the same function. And I also played with the steepness factor, at least with the linear function, and linear.
I would go for the single neuron, because that would make it to more complex, transit activation function. The last one, which can be defined for a single neuron by transit activation function. Basically, that will basically mean that this function is valid for a single neuron, instead of basically, activation function can either be defined for a group of neurons or it can be defined for a single neuron. So if you define a group of neurons, then increasing the number of neurons may not help. Really. So if you define it for a single neuron, then your complexity will go up. You can model more complex problem. Did they make any sense?
No, it didn't.
Okay. Okay. You have a set of models. You have a set of three. Okay. In one way, you can say that okay, this group of function activation function is this one. This linear model.
That's the way I used it.
This group of function activation model is this one. Or you can say that, okay, this particular neuron has activation function. This particular neuron has activation function. This particular neuron has activation function. Each individual neuron will have its own activation function. Okay. In that case, what will happen is, because you are not saying the parameter, each of these neurons, if you say it as a group, then it's almost become a single neuron. Even if you have a 20 neuron, it may be just one neuron. So the complexity is merely not going up. So
but isn't that if you apply to a group of neurons, every neuron will be applied the same function?
Every neuron will have the same function with the same parameter, if I understand correctly.
Uh-huh.
What I'm trying to say is that if we give activation function individually, then every function will have different parameter. Okay. So
Different coefficients.
So in that way, the model will have more flexibility to adapt with the number of neurons. It will probably take long time to run.
Longer
time to run.
Training time.
But training time. But so far we are not seeing any issue with the time of running, because time of running, for example, is in minutes or something like that. Really. So.
Actually, seconds.
Second.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, minutes might be an issue if you want to do online.
Yeah.
If you want to do online training, then minutes might be too long.
So you can vary this parameter. It may not help, it may help, but I'm saying that try to play with those parameters and see which one helps.
Okay.
It's probably not a lot of change. It's not a lot of change.
No. I think the hard part is already over, which is collecting all the
data.
Because
now he has the data, so basically now he's...
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, make sure that your data has a backup.
Yeah, I don't know. And not just the data that you have in your Excel sheet, but all the associated data, everything that you have collected from your experiments.
multiple backups.
Multiple backups, because otherwise you have to, because you have spent enormous amount of time on just collecting the data.
Okay, so I guess you know what the next steps are.
Yeah. So I guess the time I was spending with NLS is not right now. I can skip off, right?
Nothing you can skip off. You have to explore all the things.
What time are you talking about? What?
No, I think that for right now the NLS can, I can try it later. That's what I'm saying. NLS.
NLS of the R.
R.
Okay. Yeah, so figure out the ANN first. And then based on what we
got for this thing,
yeah,
with the R.
Well, maybe you can focus on ANN first, and then you try the different models, either stepwise linear and the Gaussian, which is the most recommended one. And then let's look at the errors. If the errors are really good, then maybe we don't need to look at R at all.
I think we have to look at some, because we have to
compare. Yeah, so yeah, that's a good point. Depends on then how we position the paper.
Yeah.
If we position it so that we provide a lot of results with the different models and so on, then certainly it helps. But you can start with ANN, because I think so far we were under a different impression of what this ANN model was. And I think we fix that understanding first.
And don't just stick to one function. Just
try all kinds of different. Try
as much as possible within the time, and whatever sounds reasonable. Yeah. Okay, it's very interesting. You ever seen that list?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen.
Yeah. So.
I wonder how they assign the coefficients for each neuron. It's pretty interesting, right? If you have so many coefficients to assign, and you come up with different combinations of coefficients, then you pick one. And, I mean, it would be interesting to figure out what kind of algorithm they use to come up with these functions for each neuron.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, I don't know if they even have to come up with actual coefficients.
They come up with some weightage.
Mm-hmm.
They change the weightage, and there are a lot of that will take us. I don't want to. That will take us completely in different direction. Neural network paper.
But I think it's good for since you have some background on neural network. Since you have spent so much time on neural networks. I mean, even when we write our paper, we have to write it in some sort of intelligent fashion.
Yeah.
Right. To address all the important parameters of the neural network, give the reader some basic understanding of how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will make for a nice paper.
Yeah.
Maybe you can pick up a textbook and just do the chapter.
You had a class in neural network, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Here?
No. I had a class in artificial intelligence.
But that doesn't have neural networks?
Neural network, no.
Oh, okay. What about in Jadavpur?
Yeah, that there is.
Okay.
So what do you teach in artificial intelligence?
In the artificial intelligence? I don't know. Ask him. I didn't take the class.
It's hard, mainly.
Okay. So, from one or
pruning and
different direction, okay.
Chess, how to play chess?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so when should we meet next?
I will give you a report on my final very soon.
Okay. All right. Anything else? What else do we need to work on? I think, I mean, let's assume the positive outcome, which is that we get really good numbers with this other parameter, either for ANN or with R, whatever the case may be. I think for the HPCA paper, what are the other remaining items that we need?
The most important, I guess, the online updation of the model. online refinement of the model.
Online updating.
For HPC?
They have a section on modeling. I mean, in their...
I mean, is there... Can we... I'm trying to figure out how to... what are the other possibilities?
Right.
One is the online updating. Maybe another possibility is that we look at more realism in our evaluation with multiple applications running on VMs and trying to model multiple applications. Does that help the evaluation in any way?
My proposal would be to go in the direction of, once you have that, and then go in the direction of actual autonomous, developing the autonomous computing system, where you change this, where the demand of a vertical application goes up, and then some it needs more resources. Then how do you find the resources from other application analysis?
So the question is, for the other applications, do we just use dummy VMs, or I mean, with control, or do we? I mean, do we solve the full, I guess the basic question is, do we solve the full problem, which is meeting SLA or maximizing the revenue for a physical host which is running multiple applications, or we focus on one application assuming that they have flexibility with the others and things like that?
We have to do step by step, of course. We have to solve that. First the single one, then
so then the single application formulation would be always meet SLA.
Always
right.
Meet SLA.
Always meet SLA with the least amount of resources.
Yeah.
That would be
so. If some of the SLA has been broken, then how? What kind of resource to add?
What is the minimum amount of resources that need to be maintained to keep SLA?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we validate that? We validate that by providing a little less resources than what we provide, and to see if they actually meet. And that's one way, but that's hard, right? Is there an easier way to?
You can provide all the available resources. You compare the throughput with the throughput that you get with the control resource allocation.
So that compares against the
upper bound.
The upper bound, yeah. And the other case, we can provide lower resources and see if we can have maybe some sort of optimum configuration and see how far away from the optimum we are. And the optimum would be based on some trial and error mechanism.
We can also, I think, one benefit of this approach is we save resources, right? And that can be shown by comparing with the ideal case, the case that we don't set any cap on resource use of a virtual machine. But the other benefit is we can also protect the virtual machine from the other competing virtual machine. Right? If there's no cap, no resource allocation, and this virtual machine that is very important for us can suffer from the resource competition of other virtual machines, and that becomes a catastrophe.
That's a good point. So, for instance, we can run some competing VM, and that presents a lot more resource utilization requirements.
Yes.
So, how we can do resource partitioning in a good way, and still, so we can protect the SLO.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are some things that we can do without having to solve the full problem of maximizing revenue.
Yeah.
Because
the
end, that's really what we want to do, is maximize revenue for the whole system. But these are sub-problems that can
be... You have to solve this sub-problem, otherwise it will be difficult to go to the next level.
And I think in this case, the online updating of the model, I'm trying to think of how important that could be for...
I think that's the first thing the reviewer may ask.
Yeah.
True. That's very important. That's the first step. You can even go think about the second layer optimization.
Mm.
Without online updating, there's no way you can follow the workload changes.
Okay, so let's get this accuracy thing out of the way, and then we can have a meetings, follow-up meetings for this. Now, if you can come up with promising results, then maybe we can meet later this week on, say, Thursday.
Yeah, you guys can meet. I will be out of the country for 1 week.
Okay. When do you return there?
I'm leaving on Friday. I'm coming back on next Wednesday.
Okay. So, I guess even if we meet on Monday, we'll still miss you, right?
Yeah. So, go ahead meeting. I'll come back and catch up.
You're leaving on Friday?
Friday.
So, if we meet on Thursday, you'll still be around?
Thursday morning is okay. Thursday afternoon I have MBA class.
Okay. So let's see if we can meet Thursday morning, because this HPCA deadline is very close. So I think we have to.
I can do this.
So we need to move faster now. So let's try to meet Thursday morning then.
Yeah.
If you need, some help verifying the results of this learning implementation, maybe I can ask my student to verify on Manner. If you can send me the data.
I have sent the Excel sheets to you.
Okay. Even the testing and board testing and training?
Some of them have both.
Okay. Well, she's stressed out because even as she's working on, but in a couple of days she'll be able to work to help you. And at that moment, maybe ask her to ask you on how to use the data. She can try it out on the implementation of the matter, maybe that can help.
Okay. Yeah, that would certainly help.
MATLAB is the implementation way?
I believe so, yeah. But I don't really remember. The last time I put in 10, that was 8 years ago. I was thinking my neural network version completely forgot that I left it. 8 years.
And you used MATLAB during that time?
Yeah, I used MATLAB. I even did a project. I didn't know what I did.
Alright.
Okay.
Okay, so Sajid, you'll update us and otherwise we can meet on Thursday.
Probably by Wednesday night I will give you an update.
Yeah.
Perfect. To see Thursday.
Okay, alright.
Okay, so good.
Thank you.